Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha, Chasdai, Pesach ben Dov, Meir ben Yecheskel, and Yosef ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, there are two things I want to speak about, one regarding Israel, one regarding the United States. In Israel, we warned months ago that the Netanyahu government is engaged in a quiet building freeze. In other words, they quietly are freezing Jewish building, the building of new Jewish homes in Judea and Samaria, that they're doing this quietly. They're not openly announcing it like they did in 2009. They openly announced there's a building freeze, and for 10 months there was an open official building freeze. This time they're not doing that. This time they're doing it more cleverly. They're doing it in a sneaky way, quietly. We said this months ago, and people said, no, what are you talking about? You're always criticizing. You're so critical. They said, no. Well, now, the building and housing minister of the Netanyahu government, he's from the Jewish Home Party, but he's the cabinet minister in charge, the building and housing minister, Uri Ariel, announced to Arutz 7 that there is a building freeze in place. We said there was one in place since Secretary of State John Kerry, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, the Jew-hating piece of garbage, visited Israel and requested one in November of last year. At least since November of last year, we said that there is one in place. And we were called overly critical, negative. You know, everybody, one thing with Jews, they have this tendency to engage in wishful thinking. They can't stand bad news. They can't stand facing reality. They hate facing bad news, which of course none of us want. None of us want bad news. All of us want good news all the time. But when you have bad news or when you have a real challenge, you got to face it realistically and courageously and intelligently and realistically. Anyway, when we said it, people, we were the only ones who said it at the time, that Netanyahu had given in and that there was, in fact, a housing freeze and that there was a building freeze against only Jews in Judea and Samaria, by the way. Only Jews in the Jewish biblical heartland are not allowed to build. Arab Muslim Nazis built tens of thousands, are building tens of thousands of homes and structures and buildings all over the land of Israel without any permits, on Jewish property, on Jewish land. They're just going and they just start building on Jewish land and say, this is really ours. And they're getting away with it. Tens of thousands of structures they're building all over Israel, something that would never be tolerated in any other country. The vast majority of Arab Muslim Nazi building in the land of Israel is without permits and is completely illegal. And nothing happens. But Jews who want to build legally are not being allowed to. And now building and housing minister Uri Ariel has confirmed that there is a building freeze that has been in effect since only we said that there was such a building freeze in effect, and we were proven right. Well, anyway, we of course, with all of our videos, have been pushing this issue and have been trying to wake people up on this issue. Finally, people are beginning to wake up. 1,000 people went this past Shabbat to spend Shabbat in E1 is East 1, or Mizrach Achat, which is an area between Jerusalem and Maale Adumim. We very much want building in that area between Jerusalem and Maale Adumim. Maale Adumim is the largest Jewish community in Judea and Samaria. And we want to connect Maale Adumim and Jerusalem, because if we connect them, if there's a connection between the two and they become one municipal area, that makes it impossible to create, or it makes it very difficult to create, a contiguous, independent, so-called Palestine state with Jerusalem as its capital. Very, very difficult to do if that happens, unless they expel all the people that live in the area, which is not easy, because there are tens of thousands of people living in that in Maale Adumim. So we want to connect Maale Adumim and Eastern Jerusalem. And that's one of the goals of the people who live in Judea and Samaria in general. And Netanyahu promised that he was going to do that when he was running in the election, the liar. And we said he was a liar at the time, and we said it was all talk and all a bluff, but people were very impressed, as usual, and thought that he was being serious. Well, anyway, we've been pushing and pushing, and finally, 1,000 people went there to protest. They spent Shabbat there, and they went there to protest. And people are beginning to raise their voices. Still not enough. We are still the one group that doesn't stop pushing this issue. We have never stopped pushing this issue, and we're not going to stop pushing this issue. But this is another example of where we have been the only voice on many issues, many times. We are the only voice of truth for the Jewish people. In the land, for the land of Israel, for the Jewish people, we are the only group, sometimes we are literally the only group that tells the truth. I know that sounds terrible, and it is terrible, but it's true. Sometimes we're effective in waking people up, sometimes not. Sometimes people don't listen to us. Many times we fail to wake people up. We deliver our message, and people of their own free will decide to ignore it. What can we do? But we have to try. We're not allowed to be silent. We have to try to wake people up. We have to try to get people to be realistic. And that's the role we're playing. And right now we're in contact with and we're pushing Jewish groups to act in order to pressure Netanyahu to build in E1, to build in that area and to connect Jerusalem and Maale Adumim, to prevent the creation of a contiguous so-called Palestine state. Of course, there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians, but Netanyahu has already agreed to create a so-called Palestine state, God forbid, which is national suicide for Israel. By the way, even Naftali Bennett, the head of the so-called Jewish Home Party, who was part of the Netanyahu regime, even he has said that the creation of a Palestine state is national suicide. He's using our language now. He's also calling it Hitabdut Leumit in Hebrew. National suicide, the same term that we've been using for years. He recently gave a speech several days ago, and he used the same term. In any event, and by the way, he's another phony. Don't be too impressed by that. But it shows that our constant pushing of this issue, I believe, does have somewhat of an effect. Is it enough? It's not anywhere near enough. What we're doing and the people we're reaching, it's nowhere near enough. Nowhere near enough. But we got to try the best we can with what we have. We're required to do that. And let's just hope that, God willing, that it has an impact. That's what we're all required to do. On Yom HaDin, on the Day of Judgment, God is not going to ask us, did you succeed? God is going to ask us, did you try your very best? Whether we succeed or not is not what we're going to be held accountable for or judged upon. We're going to be judged upon, did we really try our very best? Even if we don't succeed, God forbid, the fact that we try is what we're judged upon. Because we're required to try, and we're required to fight the battle, no matter what. And it's not a waste, because even if we don't succeed as much as we want to, it has somewhat of an impact. It has an impact. It's important. It's important that we make some headway and wake as many people up as possible. And so this is what we're working on and what we're trying to do. And unfortunately, again, we have a government in Israel that does all the wrong things, that is so cowardly and so weak and so appeasing and so pathetic. This is a government that, when it comes to Iran, is saying that the new president of Iran is a fraud and is not, you know, they know that he's a Nazi animal, that he's an Ayatollah. An Ayatollah is a moderate? They're saying he's a moderate. Hassan Rouhani, the new president of Iran, they're calling him a moderate. He's an Ayatollah. He called Israel the great Satan. He called it the great Zionist Satan. That's what he referred to Israel as, and has called for the destruction of Israel, and has said openly that Iran must finish its nuclear bomb-making project. That's a moderate? And so you have a government in Israel that says what I'm telling you now. They, Netanyahu and Moshe Yaalon, who's the defense minister, and the other leaders of Israel have also been saying this is baloney, that he's not a real moderate. They're also saying this. But all they do is talk. Instead of saying this, they should be sending out the Air Force and bombing and destroying Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, but they don't do that because they're afraid of Barack Hussein Obama. They're more afraid of Barack Hussein Obama than they are of nuclear bombs falling on the land of Israel, God forbid. They're more afraid. They're willing to risk a nuclear holocaust in order not to make Barack Hussein Obama angry. Some of the people were openly saying on television this week, on Israeli television, there won't be an attack unless Obama gives permission. There won't be an Israeli attack. I mean, what insanity. So we have to continue to do the best we can to wake people up. To wake people up about the building freeze in Judea and Samaria. To wake people up about how Netanyahu is betraying the Jews in Judea and Samaria and betraying the land of Israel. To wake people up about how Netanyahu endangers the survival of all Israeli Jews by allowing Iran to build nuclear bombs and listening to Obama tell him that he's not allowed, quote unquote, to destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making threat. We have to wake people up urgently. Urgently. No one else will say unpopular things when there's a need to say unpopular things. No one else will speak truth to the people of Israel and the people of the world. And if you agree that it's important that somebody do that, then you're in the right movement. Because as far as I see, we're the only ones doing that, as far as Jews are concerned. And here in the United States, this amnesty bill is going to come up for a vote soon to grant amnesty to 20 million illegal aliens, which means 20 million Democrat voters. That's 20 million Democrat voters. By the way, we're going to be uploading a new video that Shlomo did, an excellent new video that Shlomo did on this subject in English on the issue of the amnesty bill. But 20 million new Democrat voters, in addition to what we saw in the past presidential election, hey, that's it. You have a permanent Democrat left-wing majority in the United States. It's basically over if that happens. Probably over. Very hard for me to see how the United States can be salvaged if that happens. So this is a really important issue. And the Senate is about to approve this evil amnesty bill with the support of traitor Republicans. The House, the U.S. House of Representatives, is more iffy. But we've got to keep the pressure on because they're a bunch of cowardly whores as well. So we've got to keep the pressure on. And so we did a video on it, and we're going to push that issue as well in the United States. If only we were bigger and stronger as a movement, there'd be zero chance that Republicans would think they could get away with voting for this type of treason if we were a big movement. But unfortunately, we don't have the funds we need to become the mass movement that we dream of becoming. That would make this such a better world. However, with what we do have, with every check we get, with everything that we have available to us, we have to try. We have to try our best, and hopefully God, seeing our efforts, maybe this will influence God to push things in the right direction. Who knows? We have to try our best. I think everyone in JTF agrees that it's important. Not just important, but essential. That we not be silent, that we tell the truth, that we continue to deliver our message, that we do everything we can. At least with us, you know that this is an organization that will do the very best we can, that will throw everything we can into the fight and try the very best we can to influence things to make this a better world. And that's our mission, and that's what you're helping us do when you're in JTF. Are we fighting against the odds? Of course, we're always fighting against the odds. But in the end, the good guys are going to win in the end, eventually. I mean, God promises us that in the Bible. Eventually, the good guys are going to win. We want to prevent terrible suffering and pain and catastrophe before we get to that ending, because those terrible things can happen, as we see in the predictions in the Bible and the Nevuot and the prophecies are. Terrible things can happen. if people don't wake up and if they do the wrong thing before the final redemption. So that's what we want to prevent. And we've got to do everything we can and try our very best to make a difference. And that is what we're doing. We're doing it in Israel. Here in the United States, we're trying to deliver a message along with other people on the amnesty issue. We're not the only ones in the United States on that issue. There are other people speaking out. But our voices are added to those who say that this is national suicide and insanity for the United States. And certainly suicide for the future of the Republican Party. I mean, this is 20 million new registered Democrats, these 20 million illegal aliens. Plus, it will lead to an avalanche of more illegal immigration. It's just pure insanity. Why would any Republican, why would any American want to support this? Why would any human being want to support this? But a Republican, even a Republican politician who's an opportunist, who's a phony, why would he do this to his own party? It's just insanity. If you agree that Jews should be moving into Judea and Samaria as quickly as possible to prevent the creation of a Palestine state, to prevent national suicide, if you agree that Israel must destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, if you agree that there should be no amnesty bill in the United States to create a permanent left-wing Democrat majority in America, if you agree with us on those issues and you agree with the stand we're taking and you want to help us to try to wake people up on these issues, as you know, there are several things you can do to help us. First of all, our Hebrew and English videos. When we bring Hebrew and English videos to you on the forum, like, you will help us if you like, favorite, comment, share, and mirror those videos on YouTube and on Facebook. We need you to help us because it promotes the videos on the YouTube, Facebook, and Google search engines. If you go to YouTube and if you go to Facebook and if you like, favorite, comment, share, and mirror, whenever you see a Hebrew video, whenever you see an English video, even if you don't speak Hebrew, you can like, favorite, mirror, share. You can do all that even if you don't speak the language. You can do that and help us promote the Hebrew videos. Help us with that. It's very important so that we get more views and more attention on our videos and more exposure and hopefully can wake more people up. Secondly, help us by posting good posts. Good, positive posts on the English forum and on our Facebook pages. Only good, positive posts. Do not ever write anything that will hurt the movement. It's a sin to write to post things that can hurt the movement, to engage in petty little sniping here and there and back and forth. There's been a great improvement. There's a lot less than there was in the past, but it's still something that goes on every now and then. I know it's part of human nature, but it doesn't look good. We want our forum, our English forum, our Hebrew forum, and we want our Facebook pages to look like inviting places where people want to be active. And so you can help us by posting positive threads, by posting positive threads and positive messages. That's very helpful. That's very helpful to us. And most importantly, of course, our financial situation. That's our number one obstacle, always has been. It was the number one obstacle. It's been the number one obstacle for right-wing Jews for 150 years now. Anyone who can help us, every check, every money order, every cash donation makes a difference. God bless the great JTFers who are helping us, who are sending checks and money orders and cash donations to our post office box. It does make a difference. And God will bless you for doing it. It makes a difference. And we need your help. And again, thank you to the great JTFers that are helping us with this. Also, thank you to the great JTFers, God bless you, who are helping us by using their credit cards to donate, by going to JTF.org, our English main page, and using the donate button on top and making credit card donations. God bless all the people that are helping us financially. It's obviously very important. It makes a difference. If you agree that it's important that the voice of truth be heard by as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, if you agree with that and that we're not allowed to be silent and we're not allowed to watch passively while injustice takes place, while terrible things take place, we must act and we must try our very best to make a difference. If you agree with that, then help us. Anyway, that's what we've been doing this week. That's what we're working on this week. And God willing, and we need your prayers also. One thing that I should always mention, we need your prayers. Pray that we succeed, in reaching a lot of people, becoming a big movement in Israel, that we succeed in reversing the building freeze in Judea and Samaria, that we succeed in preventing the amnesty bill from passing in Congress, that we succeed in getting Israel to finally do the only sane thing and destroy Iran's nuclear program. Pray for us. Pray for our movement to succeed. Pray for people to wake up. Pray for the redemption of the world. We need your prayers as well. Okay, now let's go to our questions from our great JTFers. And we start with the great Pyramid Head fan who writes, and I quote, "What is your opinion on the country of Brunei?" Well, Brunei is an Asian Muslim country with over 400,000 people. It's an oil-producing country. Obviously, I don't like Muslim Nazi countries. It's part of the, I forgot what they call it, the Organization of Islamic Nations, which is an organization that regularly calls for the destruction of Israel, regularly makes, of course, anti-American resolutions that are unanimously passed there. Brunei is part of all of that. Brunei is about two-thirds Muslim, and it produces oil. And the reason Brunei is able to have any impact or say on anything is because they're oil producers. If we got off of our oil addiction, we wouldn't be in this situation. Thank you, Pyramid Head fan. And now we go to our good friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, what do you think of Hollywood hiring black actors to play what was usually a white character, like in the new Superman movie?" Unquote. I can't stand it. I absolutely can't stand it. They have to take everything that white people create and turn it into a black thing. They always do this. Kojak became black. Jackie Gleason and the Honeymooners were black. I mean, they've taken everything and turned it into some African, into some African Ebonics production. They love doing that because they are taking over. That's the message when they do this. They're taking over. They took over the White House. They're taking over the whole country. And that is really bad news for anybody who cares about America. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And now we go to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, "Someone claimed that the embarrassment the Allies brought upon the Germans led to Hitler. What factors do you think led to his rise in popularity?" Unquote. There are always people, Dr. Dan, who are going to excuse the Holocaust and give the Germans excuses. Look, we weren't nice to the Germans. The Germans started World War I. What embarrassment the Allies brought on the Germans. They started a world war. They murdered millions upon millions of people. They were barbarians. They were defeated in World War I as they deserved to be. And then they claimed it was humiliating that they had to agree to certain conditions because of World War I. Oh, please. And so for that reason, that's the excuse for them electing Hitler and starting World War II and murdering another 50 million people and murdering 6 million Jews and trying to conquer the whole world? All excuses. Hitler rose in Germany because the German people were evil. Evil. There was a Great Depression and the economy was terrible. And so they decided that they're going to destroy the entire Jewish people because of bad economic decisions that they and other nations made. That is pure evil. Anyway, thank you, Dr. Dan. And now for a great question. And now we go to our good friend Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, "Steven Spielberg is an Obama-loving leftist. What do you think about his films? Is he a genius or overrated?" Unquote. I think he's overrated. I can't stand him, of course. I absolutely can't stand him. And I do think he's overrated. And, of course, he's the most evil, disgusting person imaginable. Just a disgusting, cowardly worm. A Judenrat capo worm. who uses his money and his influence for evil, to support Obama, to support the Clintons, to support every left-wing Democrat cause. Just a disgusting, gutless, hideous individual. Thank you, Da Vinci. And now we go to our friend Papercut, who writes, and I quote, Chaim, why does evil always triumph and good is trampled on? Why do the evil always win and the good people lose? Why is evil permeating America, unquote? Papercut, in reality, evil does not win in the end. Good is going to win in the end. And it's not true that evil always wins. The Jewish people came back to the land of Israel after 2,000 years. That was a triumph of good over evil. All these empires and leaders who obsessively tried to destroy the Jewish people failed. And the Jews are back in their homeland. Even though they're crazy and they're suicidal and they're doing all types of crazy things, dangerous crazy things there, nevertheless, God brought them back to their land, and for 65 years now we have a Jewish homeland. That's the ultimate triumph of good over evil. And it's just the beginning. Good is going to defeat evil in the end. There are going to be a lot of setbacks because people have free will and people are doing bad things and making bad choices. So there are going to be a lot of setbacks. And we were warned that the final days were going to be days of evil and days of immoral behavior and terrible behavior. We were warned that this was going to happen. And it is happening. It's playing out the way it was predicted that it would play out. But in the end, the good are going to win. Now, I don't know when the final redemption is going to come. Final redemption means the evil people are going to be destroyed. And good will triumph and God will rule over the entire world. And there's going to be an end to death and there's going to be eternal life in this world. Not in heaven, in this world, on the planet Earth. When will that happen? I don't know. It could happen in another 10 years. It could happen in another 100 years. It could happen in hundreds of years from now. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I don't know the answer. But will it happen? It definitely will happen. Everything God promises in the Bible always comes true. And we saw that with the return of the Jews to their land. There's no question that when God promises something, even if it takes 2,000 years, it's going to happen. Eventually, it's going to happen. Why does it take so long? Why is there so much suffering? Because, as you say, most people are choosing evil. Doesn't have to be, but that's what people are choosing. And those people who are good, most of the people who are good are apathetic. Do most of the people who are good really do everything they can to defeat evil? Do they really do everything in their power to try to defeat evil and work and struggle to defeat evil? So, of course, if the good are not going to do what has to be done, evil people are going to win. That's why we're trying to change that mentality. Thank you very much, Papercut. But Papercut, in the end, the good are going to win in the end. But, you know, we want that to happen in our lifetime, and we want it to happen as quickly as possible. And that's why we're in the struggle that we're in. Thank you, Papercut. And now we go to the great Mishmat, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, Rabbi Kahana had many fantastic one-liners. Do you have a particular favorite, unquote? Oh, there are so many. But I think one that really sums up a lot of the rabbi's philosophy was, life is not logical, it's psychological. That was classic Rabbi Kahana. Life is not logical, it's psychological. Everything in life is psychological. This could be a wonderful, beautiful world if people would just do what is right. But people are convinced, people are brainwashed and convinced to do crazy things and to live crazy lives. And that's why there are problems and that's why there's suffering in the world. It doesn't have to be. If we change the psychology and if we get people to think properly and act properly, the world will be like paradise. Thank you, Mishmat. And now we go to the great Gematria, who writes, and I quote, Chaim HaGibor, please tell us everything we should know about the Stephen Wise, quote, free synagogue, unquote. Well, I mean, that's a deformed, hideous whorehouse, if there ever was one. Stephen Wise himself was a deformed so-called rabbi who, during the Holocaust, did everything he could to sabotage the rescue efforts of Ben Hecht and Peter Berkson and the right-wing Jabotinsky followers who were trying to save 6 million Jews during the Holocaust. Stephen Wise, who was the head of the so-called American Jewish Congress, Yimach Shmam V'Zichram, did everything he could to sabotage their efforts. Stephen Wise met with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, while the Holocaust was raging. And instead of asking Roosevelt to help save the 6 million Jews, and instead of demanding that they bomb the rail lines leading to Auschwitz, that they take the other actions that could have stopped the Holocaust dead in its tracks, instead of doing that, he was telling Roosevelt how to stop Peter Berkson and how to stop the good Jews. He was going there ratting on the good Jews and telling Roosevelt, oh, you've got to deport this one, and you should arrest this guy and deport this guy and take action against this one. In other words, he was trying to sabotage the rescue efforts. That's Stephen Wise, the head of the Deform movement in America, one of the most prominent Deformed so-called rabbis, and the so-called Free Synagogue in Manhattan is named after this vile Judenrat Kapo swine. And, you know, the place itself, the temple itself, they're the ones that invited Bishop Tutu to come. You know, Yosef, our great Yosef Ben Meir, Alav HaShalom, who used to do a program with me, used to say that he wants to turn Bishop Tutu into Bishop Forfor. And people can imagine how that's done. But anyway, he wanted to chop him in half and make him Bishop Forfor. But anyway, Bishop Tutu went to the so-called Free Synagogue and started attacking Zionism and the very existence of Israel. And everyone in this deformed temple were giving him standing ovations and whistling and cheering, and they loved it when this black Nazi animal from Africa came and polluted the city of New York and was calling for the destruction of Israel. And everybody in the Stephen Wise so-called Free Synagogue, they were all cheering and applauding him, giving him standing ovations. What a hideous place. Hideous. And now Gematria asks, also, what can you say about Mother Hale, unquote. Mother Hale. Well, she started a project, for those who don't know, in Harlem, to help black babies who are addicted to drugs. Why are black babies addicted to drugs? Because a lot of black mothers are drug addicts and get pregnant while they're drug addicts. And so the babies also are born addicted to the drugs. So she started Hale House to help the black babies that are drug addicted. Anyway, it turns out that, and she passed away, and it turns out her daughter, Lorraine Hale, and Lorraine Hale's husband, they took over the operation when she passed away, and they were stealing millions of dollars. They were raising millions of dollars because everybody, President Reagan, Giuliani, everybody was praising the Hale House. Oh, it's so wonderful. What a wonderful place. What a great concept. And so Lorraine Hale and her husband had the millions of dollars in their hands, and they stole all the money. They embezzled all the money and stole everything. A 72-count indictment was issued against them, and they found not only did they steal, were they stealing millions of dollars, they also abused the children and the babies they were supposed to be taking care of. They abused them. They kept them starving. They kept them isolated. They didn't take care of them. They didn't change the diapers of the little babies. I mean, just abused them. They treated them like babies are treated in an African village. Worse than animals. And so, that's another example of the great black charities in Harlem. I mean, the rip-offs and the scheming and all the self-hating white and self-hating Jewish organizations can't wait to hand out money to these groups. They can't wait. What a farce. Thank you, Gematria. And now the great Kahana loyalist writes, and I quote, Der Chaim, is there a book about the struggle for Soviet Jews besides the Rav's Zatzal books, which isn't the whitewash for the Jewish establishment, unquote. Unfortunately, there is not. As far as I know, I don't know of any. I think that all the books, the few books that have been written about Soviet Jewry, all are books that whitewash the issue. Even though Yosef Mendelovich and other, you know, there were refuseniks in Russia, who came out of Russia and said this issue was because of Rabbi Kahana and the JDL. that it was Rabbi Kahn and the JDL that made the difference. You have certain Soviet Jews that admitted that. Not that phony Sharansky, but you had other Soviet Jews that have said that, a prominent Soviet Jewish refuseniks. But the average the Soviet Jews in Israel, the younger generation, doesn't know anything about this. They know nothing about this. They were never told that it's the Kahanists that made it possible for them to be free. They don't realize that they're free and their lives were saved and their families' lives were saved by the Kahanist movement. They don't know this. And so this is something that we're, a message that we're trying to bring them with our videos in Hebrew. It's something that we've been doing, and we've gotten our videos on the Soviet Jewry struggle in Hebrew. If you add up all the views on YouTube and in Flix, we have tens of thousands of views for them. So hopefully at least some are being exposed to the truth now. But no, I don't know of any book that tells the truth about this struggle other than the books written by Harav Kahana. Thank you, Kahana Loyalist. And now the great lethal Kahanist zealot writes, and I quote, "Anti-Islam rallies in the UK, France, and America are starting. If JTF were to make a rally, what would you want it to be for?" Unquote. Well, it depends where you're talking about in the United States. The United States, probably against amnesty. Probably against the amnesty bill. Because that will destroy America. Right now, that's the hot issue in America. As far as America's future is concerned. As far as Israel is concerned, of course, the two hot issues are the right of Jews to live in Judea and Samaria, and the need to move as many in as quickly as possible. And the second issue, of course, is the Iranian nuclear threat. The Iranian nuclear threat is also a major issue in America. I would add that to America as well, because it's not just for Israel. The Iranian nuclear threat does create the threat of a real threat of a nuclear holocaust against America as well. Thank you, lethal Kahanist zealot. And now we go to our good friend Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim. What predominantly Jewish neighborhoods in New York you recommend I visit when I come to town? Looking forward to meeting you soon," unquote. Oh, I wish the Jewish neighborhoods in New York, well, I don't know that the Jewish neighborhoods in New York are really Jewish, and I wish they weren't in New York. I wish the good Jews would all move to Israel. But if you want religious Jewish neighborhoods to visit, you would visit Borough Park and Midwood in Brooklyn. Brighton Beach is not religious, but it's a colorful, interesting Jewish neighborhood with a lot of Russian Jews in Brooklyn. It's a very colorful, interesting neighborhood, Brighton Beach. I think you'd enjoy visiting there. In Queens, Kew Garden Hills is a religious Jewish neighborhood. Forest Hills is a secular Jewish neighborhood in Queens. If you just want to see how Jews live in Queens and Jewish homes and how Jews, basically an area where there are a large number of Jews, you'd go to Forest Hills. So I think that's, as far as I can, I think that's probably it. As far as Jewish neighborhoods, predominantly Jewish neighborhoods in New York. Thank you, Chicago Jew, and yes, we look forward to seeing you as well. And now, our good friend Obama's trash writes, and I quote, "Neo-Nazis keep saying that Russia is the whitest country in the world. Is this true? Please debunk it," unquote. Obama's trash, it's irrelevant what they say about Russia. Because Adolf Hitler, Yimach Shmo, and Nazi Germany said that the Slavs are inferior, are Untermenschen. They considered Russia and Poland and all the Slavic countries to be Untermenschen. The Slavs were not regarded as Aryans. Hitler did not say he's defending the white race. He said he's defending the Aryan race. And he made it clear that he does not consider the Slavic people to be Aryans. He considered them to be inferior, grossly inferior, and he actually eventually intended to exterminate them. And he did kill 20 million Russians in World War II. And he intended to exterminate the Slavic people, as he did with the Serbs, for instance. As he did, he and his allies murdered the Serbs. They murdered 20 million Russians during the Holocaust. They hated the Slavic people. So now they're talking about Russia being a white country. I mean, this is just, it's absurd. It's laughable. It's laughable. And now Obama's Trash Right asked me for my thoughts on Tom Hanks and Michael Douglas. Well, like the general Hollywood filth that exists, Tom Hanks is a leftist who supported and raised money for Obama. He and his wife are leftists, and they've raised big bucks and have given large amounts of money to Barack Hussein Obama. Michael Douglas is another leftist who also supports and raises money for Obama. Both of these guys campaigned for Obama, raised money for Obama, personally gave money out of their own pocket for Obama. They're scum. Anyone who supports Obama, in my book, is scum. Thank you, Obama's trash. And now we go to the great Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, "Would you be opposed to a U.S. military cemetery with separate halachic Jewish sections since Jews belong in Israel?" Unquote. Well, first of all, yes, I would be. And Jews do belong in Israel. And it's never going to happen anyway. You're not going to have U.S. military cemeteries dividing themselves up in order to conform with halacha. It's never going to happen. And justifiably, the United States doesn't want to have itself. The U.S. military traditionally doesn't want all of the soldiers in its cemeteries to be divided up like that. But according to Jewish law, Jews have to be buried in a Jewish cemetery. That's Jewish law. It's required because there's special certain halachic requirements, and Jews have to be buried in a separate Jewish cemetery to meet those Jewish religious requirements for Jewish burial. And of course, the place where Jews belong, not just in cemeteries, but when they're alive, is only in the land of Israel. Absolutely. Thank you, Binyamin Yisrael. And now we go to our great friend EB22, who writes, and I quote, "What is your overall opinion of Republican U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, Alabama, leader against so-called immigration reform?" Unquote. Well, obviously, I agree with Jeff Sessions on the issue of amnesty. He's against the amnesty bill. But, just because I agree with him on that issue doesn't mean that he's a big hero. He's still part of the establishment. He's still part of the rot, the moral rot that exists in Washington. Almost all the senators and congressmen are part of that. And he is part and parcel of that. He was part of the big spending and the big, he's been in the Senate many, many years, and he was part of the whole rotten establishment there. On this particular issue, he has taken the right stand. I'm very happy that he's taken the right stand, and we'll work with people that we don't like, and we'll work with people that we can't stand if we want to try to prevent bad things from happening. You have to do that when you're dealing with trying to block bad legislation like the amnesty bill. But that doesn't mean this guy is some great senator. He's not. The one guy that continues to impress me in the Senate is still Ted Cruz. I hope he doesn't disappoint me like so many people have, but he impresses me. He made a speech in the Senate recently, and he basically ridiculed those who refer to Ayatollah Hassan Rouhani, the Nazi new so-called president of Iran, as a moderate. He ridiculed them and made it clear that the guy wants to destroy Israel, referred to Israel as the great Zionist Satan, and that he supports Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. Senator Ted Cruz made this clear in the speech. So he says a lot of things. He also came out against giving arms to the Al-Qaeda terrorists who are fighting Assad. Assad is also a monster, but the other side are monsters. They're both monsters. To give them arms is crazy. To get involved is crazy. So Ted Cruz is the one guy that so far seems to be impressing me in the Senate. I hope he continues. Thank you, EB. And now we go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "Opinions, thoughts about Mr. Adnan Oktar." Adnan Oktar is a Turkish Muslim Nazi who is a Holocaust denier, who has written books calling for the destruction of Israel, who has written conspiracy books blaming Israel for all of Turkey's... Imagine blaming Israel for Turkey's economic problems. Israel is responsible for the economic problems of these lazy Turkish Muslim Nazi pigs, these murdering Turkish Nazi pigs. Israel's responsible for their economic problems. And you have all the self-hating Jews who defend him. A guy who supports Israel's destruction, openly says Israel has no right to exist even, is a Nazi conspiracy theorist, has written books denying the Holocaust. And the Jews, the self-hating Jews, meet with him and defend him. They like him. He's another moderate. Ah, what a sick people. Now, Tag Mechir writes, and I quote, ask for my opinion on Barbara Streisand. Oh, she is an intermarried, evil, self-hating swine. She raised I don't know how many millions of dollars for the left-wing anti-Semites, Bill and Hillary Clinton, Barack Hussein Obama, every Jew hater that has told Israel to commit national suicide, she backs them enthusiastically. She gets involved in every situation on the wrong side of every issue. Her son, by the way, is an admitted homosexual who claims to be married to another man. And she is so proud of him. She was so proud when he said that he was a homosexual. She herself is an intermarried, self-hating piece of trash. Just an abomination. She's one big abomination. And now Tag Mechir asks about Dr. Mordechai Kedar. Dr. Mordechai Kedar is an Israeli establishment guy from Bar Ilan University. And he calls himself an Arabist, and he speaks about... sometimes he says some things that are true about the Arab world, sometimes. But basically, it's the establishment line, basically. If you don't give the Jewish people the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, that's bad. That's bad. Because it's like when you have the 100-yard dash, right? You have races like the 100-yard dash. If you're ahead in the race at 99 yards, but you never make it to the finish line, that's not good enough. That's not going to save you. You still lose the race. So he and these other establishment guys are not 99% right by any means. I mean, if occasionally they say one or two things that's true about the Arab world, everybody's so impressed. You know, meanwhile, they support a continuation of the same failed, disastrous, cowardly appeasing policies. They do not advocate trying to get the Arabs to leave Israel and remove the Arabs from Israel. They do not advocate the policies that are needed to make a difference to save the Jewish people. And anyone who doesn't advocate that is part of the problem, not part of the solution. And now Tag Mechir asks about Rabbi David Stav, or David Stav, and comments by Rav Ovadia Yosef about him, unquote. Well, this is something I don't think our people in the United States are familiar with this. There's this battle. Rav David Stav is trying to become the new chief rabbi of Israel, a post that has really been disgraced by some nasty people. Corrupt people who are facing indictment, and I mean, just horrible people, including the current chief rabbi. Both of the current, the Sephardic and the Ashkenazi, because you have an Ashkenazi chief rabbi and you have a Sephardic chief rabbi, which you shouldn't have. You should only have one chief rabbi. But anyway, you have two separate chief rabbis, both of whom are corrupt, both of whom were willing to support the Gush Katif expulsion as long as the government doesn't bother them and doesn't go after them on corruption charges. And now this guy is running to be the new Ashkenazi chief rabbi, Rabbi David Stav. I don't like him. He's an establishment guy all the way. He supports, factory how would you refer this assembly line conversions? In other words, he wants mass conversions of Russians who are not Jewish in Israel, not really according to halakha. He does all types of things that I think are very troubling. And again, he's part of that same establishment that goes along with whatever the government basically orders and whatever the army decides to do. He goes along. That's part of the problem. Jews must change things drastically if we're going to survive. And anyone who is not in favor of drastic change is a problem, is an obstacle, is bad for the Jewish people. The establishment people are all bad because they don't want the type of drastic change that's needed to save Israel from catastrophe. And he's part of that. Now, Harav Ovadia Yosef, who's the head of the Shas party, which is even worse, has called him Rasha, has called him wicked, and all these other type of things, really denounced him ferociously. And so there's a big controversy over that. The problem, you know, Harav Ovadia Yosef and Shas are even worse than he is. They're even worse. They supported the Oslo agreements. They've supported the surrender of Jewish land and the expulsion of Jews. They're corrupt, evil beasts who are destroying Israel and destroying authentic Judaism. They're even worse. So what can I say? It's an argument between the good. It's an argument between terrible and worse. That's the argument. When will we finally have good people? We had one. Rabbi Kahana was good. When will we have another Rabbi Kahana? I hope God willing. I hope God willing eventually we will have another Rabbi Kahana who will be prominent and who will get into the mix. But short of that, we're in trouble because that's what we need in Israel. Thank you, Tag Mechir Tzedek. And now we go to the great waiting for the mother plane to come, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, why does Daniel 9:26 say anything about the nationality of Gog? What specifically do you suspect he, she will come from the USA, unquote? Well, I don't specifically suspect, for any reason from the biblical scriptures, that give us any hints about the United States, except for just the circumstances of where the United States is today. Gog is going to be the leader of Magog. Well, by the way, it's going to be a he. It's not going to be a she. Gog is going to be the leader of Magog. And Magog is going to lead a worldwide coalition against Israel and the Jews. Magog is going to bring the Western nations and the Islamic nations together, all unite against Israel. Now, which country can do that? There's only one country today in our present time that would be able to bring together an international coalition like that. That's the United States. Someone like Barack Hussein Obama. So that's why I say it's possible it could come from the United States. Right now, I think the only country that could pull it off would be the United States. However, who's to say that this won't happen in another 50 years or another 100 years? We don't know when it's going to happen. I'm not a prophet. I don't know when it's going to happen. If it happens another 50 years, another 100 years, America, there's a very good chance America will no longer be a superpower then. America will shrink and become a joke of a nation by then. And the new superpower will be China, or will be some other country that will rise. And that's very, very possible. So, you know, I have no way of knowing. If it would happen in our time, I think it would have to come from the United States. But if it happens next few decades, when the United States seems to be in very severe decline, unless something happens to wake the American people up. If something does not happen to wake the American people up, I believe America will be in decline, and I do not think America will continue to be a dominant nation in the world. I think America will go the way of other empires in history. I mean, Greece was once a great empire. The Roman Empire. What happened to the Roman Empire? The Greek Empire. The Persian Empire. The British Empire. French had an empire. France had huge colonial possessions all over the world, almost as many as England. Spain. What happened to Spain and the great Spanish Empire? Spain was once the most powerful nation in the world with the most colonies in the world. Where is Spain today? I think America is going down that path right now. America is going to become a joke unless the American people wake up. So it depends when this would happen. Everything depends upon when this would happen and upon a whole set of circumstances, which I can't tell you how it will play out because I'm not a prophet and I don't know. But Gog and Magog, Gog, the leader of Magog, leading an international coalition against the Jews in Israel, that will happen. That's in the Bible, that will happen. And what will happen, Israel may emerge unscratched completely if the Jews do the right thing. On the other hand, if the Jews don't do the right thing, there are going to be tragic consequences. The Jewish people will survive and will win, but there'll be terrible losses and terrible tragic consequences, God forbid. Thank you, waiting for the mother plane. And now we go to our good friend Secular Believer, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, any news you can report on your attempts to be allowed into Israel, unquote. Unfortunately, no, I don't have anything new to report. You know, we're waiting for the proper moment and the proper opportunity. You know, I applied, I think, 5 times since 1996. So for me to just keep applying every 6 months is not going to do any good. We've got to wait for the right opportunity and the right moment. And when there is such an opportunity and when there is news, and believe me, we're watching every day to see when such an opportunity emerges. When there is an opportunity, when there is any news, we will certainly make our fellow JTFers aware of that. But right now, there is no news. There's no new news. There's nothing new to report right now, unfortunately. Thank you, Secular Believer. And now we go to our friend Mohammed, will return to write for the Huffington Post, who writes, and I quote, is it possible that Mohammed was just a troll all along? If so, wouldn't that make him the biggest troll of all time, unquote. I think it probably would. He was quite a murderous troll. He murdered a huge number of people and brought into the world a religion that has led to such death and suffering for such huge numbers of people. That certainly would make him certainly among the biggest trolls of all time. Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Mohammed. We'll return to write for the Washington Post, for the Huffington Post. Could also be for the Washington Post. But anyway, for the Huffington Post. And now we go to our good friend Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, can you please tell us in detail the Jonathan Pollard story, unquote. Jonathan Pollard was a Jew, an American Jew, who worked for the Defense Department. He was a loyal, patriotic American citizen as well. And he discovered that the United States, by treaty, was required to provide Israel with certain information. There was a written guarantee of that. Israel was providing the United States with the information. I mean, they were supposed to mutually provide each other with information. Israel was keeping its part of the agreement. Israel was providing the United States with all the information. But unfortunately, Jew haters in the Defense Department were not allowing information that was essential to Israel's survival to be given to Israel, passed on to Israel, even though the United States was required by treaty to do so. Caspar Weinberger, who was a vicious Jew hater, and other vicious anti-Semites were preventing this information from being passed on to Israel in violation of the America-Israel Strategic Alliance Agreement and in violation of written obligations. So he decided to give the information to the Israelis. And he was accused of espionage, which is nonsense. He should have been given a medal for what he did. And what he gave to the Israelis, and what was he giving to the, he was giving to the Israelis information about Islamic terrorism and about the Islamic terrorist threat. When Israel acted on this information, it was good not only for Israel, it was good for America. It happened to be beneficial to America. So this was the most patriotic thing that he could possibly be doing. It was the best thing he could be doing for America and the best thing he could be doing for Israel. He was charged with espionage and they went crazy and it was a very anti-Semitic railroading that they did to him. And even though they promised him that he wasn't going to get a heavy sentence, and they promised him all types of things which they completely violated and broke, he was eventually sentenced to life in prison, with a recommendation against ever being paroled. And he's been sitting in prison now since 1985, for 28 years now. There are other aspects to the story that are horrific, but now he and his wife went to the Israeli embassy to seek refuge. They were in the Israeli embassy, and they sought asylum in the Israeli embassy, and the Israeli embassy had them, and the United States couldn't have done anything if the Israeli embassy had kept them, because it's Israeli diplomatic property, and they could have kept him, and they could have given him asylum. But instead of doing that, the rats and Judenrat scum of the Israeli embassy by force dragged him and his wife out and handed them over to FBI agents by force. After he took so many risks to save Israel and to help Israel, this was the thanks he got from the Israeli government and from the animals in the Israeli embassy. That's the Jonathan Pollard story. Story of unbelievable betrayal of someone who tried to do good and who did do good and has been punished brutally for it. Thank you, Maimonides. Let me just quickly check and see. Okay, and I want to thank all of our great JTFers for another program that I very much enjoy doing. Until next week, Shalom.